Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Appreciate that. The music tonight, what a blessing. And we are getting closer and closer to being able to produce our own CDs. So I'm pushing Brother Wiggins a little bit publicly here. That it would be really, really nice if we could have our own CDs. And Brother Jansen certainly, and the Heritage Strings, and the choir. I'd love to just have some of the choir specials that we could listen to in our cars and at house. So we're working towards it. And appreciate the music at our church. What a blessing. What a blessing. And those young men were good this morning, weren't they? That was something. If you did not get to listen, you can go online and listen. And what a blessing. And so, anyway, Philippians chapter 2. And we'll finish up chapter 2 tonight. See, we're making progress. Philippians chapter 2. Look with me at verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Tonight we have the example of Epaphroditus, one again with the Christ-like mind. The Christ-like mind. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. Again, help us to see very clearly, once again, the example of Epaphroditus who has the Christ-like mind. I pray tonight you would help us as a church family, as individuals, to be selfless in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the theme of the book of Philippians is selflessness, selflessness, selflessness that produces joy. And the more we are selfless, the less we think about ourselves, and the more we think of others, and the less we do for ourselves, and the more we do for others, as Christ did, the greater joy we will experience as Christians. Again, we talked about the abundant life this morning, and a lot of the abundant life has to do with that experiencing that joy that comes with the abundant life. And that is found in being Christ-like. And we found in the first chapter, chapter 1, that he said that for me to live is Christ, right? And to die is gain. Listen, we understand and know that we are to live for Christ. That in dying is gain. Absolutely, as Brother Jan's saying, dying is gain. I mean, I'm looking forward to heaven someday. I'm looking forward, it's gain. But for me to live now, it's Christ. It should be all about Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Christ should have the preeminence in all of our lives. And certainly, in the life of Paul, Christ was preeminent. He was number one. Number one on Paul's list, number one priority of Paul was Christ. Everything to do with Christ. And so as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should follow in Christ's steps. And here in chapter 2, so chapter 1 is the life of Christ, or having that Christ life. And chapter 2 is having the mind of Christ. Paul said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so then he follows up and gives us four examples of individuals who had a Christ-like mind. Well, the first example he gives is Jesus Christ. He's the greatest example. And Christ gave his life for us. He humbled himself, became a man, became of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Think about that for a second. The God of the universe became flesh and dwelt among us. What a sacrifice he made just in doing that. But it went even further. The Bible says, and even went to the death, even the death of the cross. He didn't just die, you know, a normal death. He died the death of a thief and a murderer. He died in that day, maybe not the most cruel death that you could come up with, but in that day, that was the most shameful death that someone could have. To die. In other words, a Roman citizen couldn't be crucified. Only a slave could be crucified. If you were a Roman citizen, you could not be crucified. It was the death of a slave, a death of a murderer. That's what our Savior died. He died in shame. I'm glad he did. I have everlasting life. I have a Savior who loved me that much. Listen, what an example for us who laid aside his own righteousness, his glory, and came to this earth and then died for us. What an example of selflessness. He is the greatest example of righteousness. He's the greatest example of selflessness. And the second one we have is Paul. Paul, and we've read this the last few months. Paul is a great example. We find him, first off, we see the work. He talks about that in look at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not much more in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it is, we are to work, not for salvation, but because we are saved. Work out, you can't work something out you don't already possess. So he's saying, work out your salvation. We should be aware that that we should be, again, faith without works is dead, James says, as we said this morning. And then we see that in verse 15, we're to reflect Christ, that we're to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. By the way, he said that then. It's true today. We're to be a reflector of the light, reflector of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to achieve, in other words, in verse 13 says, before God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, it is God that will enable us to have the Christ-like mind. Remember, Paul said let. He didn't say make. He didn't say make this mind be in you. He said, let this mind be in you. The Christ-like mind, selflessness, does not come natural to any of us. We're all selfish by nature. And it is through Christ that we work, if you would, the works of Christ. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has given us that enables us to be selfless, that enables us to have the Christ-like mind. So it is something you let happen. It's something you yield to, as we said this morning. It's something that you allow, if you would, that's maybe not the best word for it, allow God to work in your life, to yield completely to Him. Man, and be selfless. All of us are at different levels in this. All of us are at different levels in the Christ-like mind. But you better be at one level or another, and it ought to be growing, right? That He works in you. He's still working on me. I love the song. You got to sing it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. Loving and patient He must be. Loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. It's sad that I remember all the words to the song. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. I'm an unfinished part. It is sad that I can remember all the words. But I can't remember Brother Vian's name. He's still working on me. And He is. He's working on all of us. Both to will and to do my pleasure? No, His good pleasure. His good pleasure. And so as we yield to Him, we have the Christ-like mind. And that is something we're achieving. We want to have the Christ-like mind, to be selfless, to follow in Jesus' steps. And there's many other things here in my notes. And then lastly, we think about the joy that it produces. Again, we see this in verse 17 and 18. Joy is produced by the Christ-like mind. And if you want to have joy in your life, then be Christ-like. That's profound, isn't it? Man, if you want to have joy in your life, you want to experience that joy unspeakable and full of glory, just following Christ's steps. He said, well, what about the rules, preacher? All these rules. Yeah, and of course we ought to. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. But all of that summarized in just following in His steps. It's not a religion. It's not about a set of rules. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Right? And certainly we can lay out some rules, but all those rules are summed up, summarized in following Jesus, following His steps. Right? What would Jesus do? Y'all saw where some rapper has copyrighted that, haven't you? It just happened this last week. Y'all get ready. That's unbelievable that somebody could actually copyright and get the label of that. But anyway, it happened just this week. What would Jesus do? It didn't originate with Him at all. If you ever get a chance, you ought to read the book In His Steps. I think we may still have it in the bookstore. It is tremendous by Sheldon. Tremendous book written in the late 1800s. And it's actually the first time where J.D. was mentioned. So that preacher ought to get the copyright. Anyway, what would Jesus do? It's about following in His steps. following in his steps. Joy comes from the Christ-like mind. And then we studied lastly about Timothy. And Timothy, what a wonderful example of Christ-likeness. Paul said, I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state, for all seek their own. And yet he sends Timothy. Why? Because Timothy was of a like mind. Timothy was a servant. Timothy was Christ-like. And by the way, Timothy was a layman who became a preacher. You might remember that. I know Brother Stewart pushes that a lot when he's here. It's not the preachers who can get the work done. We can only do so many. It's all of us working together. All of us working together. And then tonight is Epaphroditus. You say, man, we're taking up a lot of time. Epaphroditus will be easy. This is a good one. Love this. Epaphroditus, there in verse 25, a member there at the Philippian church in Philippi, of course. We see, number one, we see that Epaphroditus, he called him my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. I like all three of these terms. He called him my brother, my brother. I'm glad tonight we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to remind you that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we need to keep that in mind when we're talking to each other, and when we're talking about each other, and when we're talking about each other. We ought to be careful, amen? Mama used to say, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say it at all, right? And the Bible refers to talebearers and those who would gossip as right up there with some other really gross sins. So we need to be careful, remembering that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, my brother, my brother. And that's why around here maybe you're a new Christian and you wonder, why does everybody call you Brother Eric or Brother Crawford? Well, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's nice to see that Paul again refers to him as my brother. Secondly, refers to him as my companion in labor. In labor. What does he mean by that? He means they had the same job. They had the same goals. They had the same work to do. I'm glad tonight Corinthians says we are fellow laborers with God. We're laboring together with God. We are working the same work. Our goals are the same. Right? Listen, as a church family, our goals are the same. Our goal is to win people to Jesus, to give them the good news. By the way, it is great. You think about all the negative news today, and we have such good news to bring, and we give the good news out, we see people get saved. That's our goal. And then to baptize them and to disciple them. And that is, this is our command from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the Great Commission. This is the reason the church exists. Right? To win people to Jesus. Let us be reminded that we are laborers together. That we are laborers together. And then he says, fellow soldier. Fellow soldier. Remind you tonight that we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We are in a battle together. And Ephesians describes our enemy as principalities and powers and darkness of this world. Listen, there are enemies that you cannot see and I cannot see that are profoundly against us. The Bible says there that Satan's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. There is an enemy. There is an enemy. We need to be reminded of that. I'm the ultimate optimist, but when things are going so good around here that it's unbelievable, like it has the last, since April, May, June, and it seemed like God just turns the light switch on and people getting saved everywhere and baptizing every Sunday and just filling up. And that's amazing, isn't it? Does anybody know anything we changed to do that? No. I mean, just be faithful, God. And then God, in seasons, there's a time for planting, there's a time for watering, there's a time for reaping. And we know right now our church is in a reaping mode. And it's amazing how God does that. But when we're getting that reaping mode and God really pours His Spirit out upon us, however you want to put it, or God really begins to bless in a mighty way, look out, because the devil hates that. He hates it. And what he will do, 9 times out of 10, I'm telling you, been in the ministry now 22 years almost, 9 times out of 10, it's not the city that's the enemy. Most of the time that gets us. It's not the guy down the street that gets us. It's not the guy walking through the back door who's a visitor. It's fellow brothers and sisters in Christ many times. When things are going so great, man, the devil will do anything he can to kind of, you know, get us arguing about the carpet color or get us arguing about something else or, again, the gossip or whatever. You say, preachers, there's something going on bad. No, there's nothing. It's scary, right? It's scary. Let's be vigilant. Let's be vigilant about it. And remember that we're in a battle, but we're in a battle together. We're in a battle together. And let's remember, we're in the same boat. We are co-laborers. We're laboring together. We have the same goals. We have the same work to do. And let's line up together. Let's continue to line up together and work together. And when we do have differences, that we can pray with each other and go forward. And when we do hurt each other's feelings. By the way, in my own family, we're church family, right? In my own family from time to time, my brother, older brother, has been not as kind maybe sometimes as he should have been to me. He's still my brother. And here in about 3 weeks, him and his 11 kids are going to be at my house for a week. It's going to be awesome. But there are times in which we have disagreed, and there's times in which I've hurt him, and there's times in which I've said something about him and maybe to my dad or whatever, and listen, he's my brother. I'm not always going to agree with him, and from time to time I'm going to disappoint him and I may hurt his feelings. Same thing happens with husband and wife. Listen, if every time we disagreed as a husband and wife, we decided, this is a bad illustration. I'll go find me another one. Well, some people do that in the church. They say, well, we have a disagreement, and they go find another church. Listen, you're going to find problems at that church too. You joined this church. This church was perfect until you joined it. Right? And you go join the other one. It's going to be perfect until you. I'm just saying, listen, we must be careful. I like the word vigilant. We must be careful and vigilant about how when God is blessing and in just a mighty way, that we don't get distracted from the work. My fellow brother, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and yes, at times we're going to disagree and so forth and hurt each other, but we have the same goal. Our goal, certainly, again, we can hurt each other, but our goal, we need to stay by the stuff. We are laborers together with Him. Fellow laborers together with God. Our goal is to get 15 bus kids to ride the bus and some of them get saved this morning. That's what we're doing. And I think maybe a church member's kid or so got saved this morning. Man, amazing. Amazing. Fellow soldiers. Can I remind you that we are to be good soldiers of the cross? We're to fight the good fight of faith. And we are to, as our theme was, stand firm. Be steadfast, unmovables, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor's not in vain in the Lord. I'm looking back there at Miss Edie. I always do about those toddlers upstairs. Her and Miss Holder. I'm just telling you. I complimented the nursery workers this morning. The nursery workers. What would it be like to have church with all the babies in here crying? It's unbelievable, right? We're soldiers together. We're working together. What a blessing it is to work together. Verse 25, he mentions there at the end about, and he that ministered to my wants. He that ministered. Epaphroditus not only was a brother and fellow laborer and a soldier, but he as well was a minister. Not a minister as we think about a minister, but it means a servant. Jesus said what? I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Jesus said, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. We need to be Christ-like in that we don't have to be the one up front. Right? We can be the one who empties the trash can. Right? We can be the one who cleans the toilet or whatever it is around the building. Or it can be, you know, we're the ones who should be ministers. Every member should be a minister. Every member. All of us working together. Every member should be a minister. Let us continue in the battle of reaching others. I'm thankful as we have started the bus ministry and the Christian Academy. I'm glad as of tonight, nobody's complained. Nobody's been negative about it. And I just want to remind you that it's not about us. Amen. That it's about them. Amen. Now, It's all about Him, but I'm talking about in the way of ministering. And so as we continue to reach out, it might affect us, sometimes in a negative way. Having more kids in the building during the week is going to cause the carpet to wear out quicker. Preacher, what are we going to do about the carpet? We're going to replace it when it needs to be replaced. Right? Amen? We're real close to getting the playground ordered. We get the playground and got kids playing on every day from the academy. What's going to happen? Well, it's going to wear out quicker. Amen. We'll just replace it. God's good. And we continue to go forward. There's an illustration told about a man, a church who hung a sign out in front of their church that said, Jesus only. And the wind came by and blew the J-E-S off. And it read, us only. And I'm glad I serve in a church that is not us only. In other words, it doesn't, exclusively minister to us. And it's not about us. It's about putting on a fall festival and whatever else we can do to reach our community. And what a blessing. There, by the way, there's not a lot of churches. I'm telling you, we God's blessed us. There are churches out there who don't reach out. There are churches like, me three and no more, And so what a blessing. So he that ministered, we are to be ministers. And then it says that he was burdened. He was burdened for the Christians there, and he had a concern for them. Look there in verse 26. And he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. I'm thankful for God's mercy. And not him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus was and did live by Ephesians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he didn't live by Philippians 2:21, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. I want to be a Philippians 1:21 Christian. I want to follow in Christ's steps. I want to be like Epaphroditus. And he, like Timothy, had the marks of a Christ-like mind, sacrifice and service. And in the end, produces joy. He risked his own life for others. I was reading, and you probably read or saw on TV, I remember if it was in California or where, but a man was driving down the street and saw a truck or a car that was being pursued by the police. And he noticed the car was running towards a bunch of children. And he was in a big truck, but he took his big truck and just pulled it right in front of that guy and took care of it. Not knowing what might happen, that's sacrifice. What a blessing. I'm glad somebody stepped forward and has not only fixed his truck for him, but souped it up for him. Did y'all see that? That's pretty cool. So I don't know who did that for him, but glad that he was there to run in front of that truck and put his truck in front of that car and take care of that. It is, again, sacrifice and service that will produce joy. By the way, he's reaping the rewards. That happens there. You do what's right, you'll reap the rewards. You do what's right, you'll reap the rewards. And lastly, he was a blessed Christian. He was a blessing to Paul. He said, I send him therefore more carefully unto you. When you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such a reputation because of the works of Christ. He was nigh to death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. He blessed Paul by ministering to Paul. He was a blessing to his church. He was a blessing to his church. I want to be known as a blessing. I don't want anybody to say, well, man, that guy, now I want to be a blessing. And Epaphroditus was known as a blessing. A blessing to the Apostle Paul, a blessing to his own church, and a blessing to us. Because we can see his example. What a blessing. Let's be a blessing to those around us. Let's all stand. Hymn 155.